Hello, everybody. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And if you don't know where Samuel's at and you're afraid to turn there because you're afraid you'll look stupid because you don't know where it's at, it's after Joshua and Judges. It's in the Old Testament, and it's smack in between Kings and Chronicles. 1 Samuel chapter 14. I hope you came today, and I hope you were listening. Are you listening? Was God ministering to you through the prayers of the saints during the worship, through the words of the songs? I tell you, I could literally preach this message from the very songs that we're saying today. Because Gary chose them, I believe it was Gary, from Eyes of Faith and looking forward to a new year. And I know Gary's got faith because I know what Gary's doing right now in his life. Gary and Nicola. And I talked with Nicola before the service, and she told me a vision she had about their life, and I go, wow, this is exactly what we're talking about today. And I know today that this message is very relevant to all of you, because God's called us all to step out in faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. It's an exciting life. And you might have came here today and you might have heard the encouraging words of Gwyneth and her prayer and praying for souls. Or you might have not heard today. Maybe you weren't listening, or maybe you're down today and you're not listening. You need to listen, because God wants to minister to you through the worship, through the word today, and the fellowship after. That's what we pray before the service every week. Because God speaks to us through one another. God speaks to you through the word. And God wants to speak to you through the worship. And the exhortations and the gifts during the service, you've got to open your heart and your mind, because God's speaking the whole time we're here. Do you hear it? Do you know it? Or have your senses become dull? Or maybe they've never been made alive to the Spirit. Or maybe today you've never really realized to come in that this is a spiritual thing, and you need to open your eyes to the spiritual realm. Open your heart to the spiritual realm, because God wants to speak to you. He wants you to leave encouraged. I know some of you here came today very down. And you heard the prayers and the exhortations during the gifts and the worship that were all pointing to hope and a future and faith and confidence in God. That's what we're talking about today. And that's why when I get up here and everything's just set it up perfect. I could not even look at my notes, and I could take each song that Gary chose and start from there. Because God's wanting to speak to you something. He wants you to have confidence in Him. He wants you to have faith in Him. He wants you to believe in Him. And if you're down today, you've got to realize that God is with you. If you don't believe that, you're not going to walk in faith. You're going to walk in doubt. You're going to look to your own devices. And you've got to trust in the power of the living God and His love for you. Do you realize that? Well, the message today is Adventures of Faith from 1 Samuel chapter 14. I could say, how big is your God today? You ever heard that statement? How big is your God? Sometimes we're serving a God this small. Your God might be this small. You need to realize, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. We sang that for breakfast this morning. That's what the kids sing. Oh, it's a kid's song. No, it's not. It's a marching song to our King, because He's powerful and big on our behalf. Do you realize it? Kid's songs aren't nothing. Hey, those are wrong singing kid's songs. I love them. I love them. There's a lot of truth to them, because we're trying to teach the kids about how big our God is. How big is your God? You might have came in today looking down. You're not looking forward to the new year. The last year has been terrible, and it can't get any better. But I'm telling you, you got to have eyes of faith. You got to believe. You got to look up. You got to look to God and quit looking at the circumstances you're in. Quit looking to the challenges you're facing, and look to your God who loves you. He loves you so much. Do you get it? And He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's on your side. You got it? You've got to remember these things. And we've got to encourage one another with these things. A.W. Tozer said this, I am positively sure that after many years of observation and prayer, that the basis of all our trouble today in religious circles is that our God is too small. We need to realize how big and mighty He is. It's not a kid's song anymore. It's not just for kids anymore. Today we're going to be talking about Adventures of Faith, because I believe that's what we're going on together in 2011. And the prayers and the gifts and all these exhortations were pointing to that. There are people already seeing the new year with eyes of faith. Maybe you're not. And maybe you, or maybe you haven't really thought about stepping out in faith. Many in this church sitting here already doing it, are on their way and stepping out in big faith. And so this, I know, will minister to you. But those who are not, maybe you're looking at the bad last year. Hey, there's hope in the new year. You know why? There's not just hope in the new year. Because God says, my mercies are new every morning. You got to claim that. Not just the new year. Oh, it's a new year. His mercies are new every morning. We're going to be talking about, as a church, we come to a new year, a new season. Some people have or already are going to move on. And therefore, we need people to rise up. What's the Lord going to do? That's the gist of the text today. Let's go see what the Lord might do. What's he going to do? Are you excited about it? Are your eyes on something else? We need to be excited at the prospects of the new year. But sometimes our eyes are on something else, and we're not looking in eyes of faith. We're looking at things like the obstacles. We're looking at challenges. We're looking at changes, maybe. You don't like, some people don't like change. Some people love change. Maybe you look at the changes and going, oh, I don't know. He's still the same God. He's still for Pillar Church. He's still for you. So nothing's changed as far as God, and he is the one we're looking to. Nothing else. We're looking to God. Well, we got to get our focus right on this new year. Whatever's happened in the past, let's look forward to the new year with eyes of faith, because we're looking to the author of faith, Jesus Christ. He's the author of our faith, Hebrews tells us. And we've got to look forward to what he wants to do in his church, in you. Yeah? How does he want to use you? Let me ask you a question, though, before we begin. And this will maybe minister to some of you, get your mind on something. Do you think the Christian life is exciting? Yeah. I knew Bongo would say yeah. Because you're in here. I got a quote from you. Maybe you've not been experiencing the exciting Christian life. Maybe I've heard one person say it's sort of boring. You're not serving the same God I am. You're not doing the same things I'm doing. I'm looking to a mighty God who wants to do great things. And if you're not, maybe it's not that exciting. Maybe it is a bit boring. You need to flip that and change and realize what a big God you serve, what a loving God you serve, and what does he want to do in you and through you. So we're going to talk about adventures of faith, three or four things we'll talk about. Eyes of faith, steps of faith. Faith produces something, and if we have time, the do's and don'ts of faith. Let's look at our text real quick, though. 1 Samuel 14, let's read it all so you know what we're talking about. 1 Samuel 14, 6. I encourage you to read along. I encourage you to bring your Bible, and I'm not going to stop saying this, by the way. I encourage you to bring your Bible. I encourage you to follow along, because when you can learn by hearing, you can learn by seeing, you can learn by writing notes. Someday I hope everybody's taking notes, because you learn better those three ways if you do these things. 1 Samuel 14, 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hands of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his knees and with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within half an acre of land. We're going to talk about eyes of faith first. I believe the Christian life is so exciting. And I used to live a life that some would call the wild life or the fast lane, which so many young people try and experience and think that's where it is and that's where it's happening, so they give it a go. I've lived that life, and I can tell you absolutely certainly, following Jesus Christ is far more exciting than the fast lane, than the wild life. It doesn't compare to the adventures of faith in a big God. But see, we got to live out these ventures of faith in a big God. And that means we must be willing to follow where faith and God leads us. And that's not the easy thing, because it's not always practical. It doesn't always make sense. And it's not ever easy following God, because he tells us to take up a cross and follow me. Follow me and die to yourself. Follow me and die. To follow me, you must die, because you got to get rid of self. Got to live for him. We're going to talk about Jonathan and his armor bearer as an example of an adventure of faith, but I want you to be relating this to your life. What adventure of faith is God taking you on? Maybe you've already started it. Some of you are about to start some adventures of faith. Verse 6 again. Then Jonathan said to the man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or few." Nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or few. In other words, my God is so big, but strong and so mighty. You see, with God, one is a majority. Jonathan saw the bigness of his God, and he said, "Hey, let's go. Just me and you go take the entire Philistine army." Is that faith? I'm not there yet, I don't think. But I love the faith. I love getting my examples from the Bible. Jonathan believed in a big God. Did you know without faith, it is impossible to please God? Hebrews 11:6 says, "It is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." See, we've got to have eyes of faith. It comes from a heart of faith, that we might see. Open the eyes of our heart, that we might see. Fill our hearts, teach our hearts, mold our hearts, shape our hearts so our eyes might see. That we might have faith, we might believe, that we might begin to realize what a big God we serve. When I was a new Christian, people used to always say, "God is faithful, amen?" Or, "God is faithful, huh?" I go, yeah, I guess. Because I hadn't experienced God as faithful. I was a new Christian. I read it in the Bible. But when they would say, "God is faithful, huh?" Yeah, I guess. I haven't experienced him. I hadn't experienced the faithfulness of God. But now, many, many years later, I've experienced the faithfulness of God over and over and over again. And I can tell you one thing. He is faithful. And he's faithful to you. But we've got to understand that truth in light of everything else that's happening and bring it under, well, God's faithful. And that's why people are always saying that. Because, things are blowing up around me. But God is faithful. He'll do what he wants to do. There's a story I heard this week as I was listening to a pastor's conference, and my pastor was teaching in America, and I thought I would share this story. It's just so inspiring. During the Jesus movement, there was a revival going on, a genuine revival. And all these hippies were getting saved. And because when God does a fresh work, sometimes things are strange, and all the denominational churches around us at the time were like, "Oh, don't go there." Matter of fact, they'd always tell the seminary students, churches to go to. And they said, "Whatever you do, don't go down to Calvary Chapel." Because it was breaking the mold of all these hippies and letting people come in and be free. And they were sticking to the word. They were doing the fundamentals, but they were letting people come as they are. They let them come playing their guitars with no shoes on. And God did a mighty work, because we didn't look at the outside, but looked at the heart of what God could do. Amen. Anyway, a lot of things happened. A lot of great stories came out of this. And this is one I heard this week. There was this new Christian, and he was driving around. He had just gotten saved a few weeks before at Calvary Chapel. And at this time during the revival, people were getting saved in droves. You can still go to Calvary Chapel today, the church where this all began. And every Monday they do an evangelistic outreach. And probably 20 to 60 people, usually young people, come down every week to receive Christ. Still going on. Not a revival, but it's still the ebbs and flows of the revival are going. Anyway, this young man, new Christian, didn't know much about the Lord, was driving around, and he felt the Lord speak to him. And the Lord said, go stick your head in the mailbox and shout, Jesus loves you. Now, first you got to get your head around what kind of mailbox he's talking about. He's not talking about the flap like we have where, you know, yell in there. You might have seen some on movies. These big giant boxes, usually in rural areas in America. And if you ever saw Thelma and Louise, that's the ones that they ran over, bunch of them together, and it makes a great effect when they all fly up in the air. But it's these big, giant, rural mailboxes that were at this place, and God said, go stick your head in there and say, Jesus loves you. Thought it was a little bit weird. He's a new Christian, but he's just into obeying Christ. He doesn't have a bunch of preconceptions of what Christianity is supposed to be, so he obeyed in this silly thing, and he went into the mailbox and put his head in there. He said, Jesus loves you! And it resonated like a megaphone all through the neighborhood. And he comes out of the mailbox. And he looks up, and there's a man coming out of his, and these are a nice area, big homes, beautiful homes. And a man's coming out of his front, and he's going, oh, you know, hippie. You know, nobody liked hippies back then, wanted to get rid of them, like some kind of pest. And so this man's coming out, and he's going, oh, boy, I'm going to get it. And the man came over to him, and he says, the young hippie Christian started apologize. I'm sorry, sir. I'll be on my way. I'll get out of here. I'm sorry. And the man said, no. No, don't go. I was standing in my house on a chair with a noose around my neck. And I said, God, make yourself real to me. And all of a sudden I hear, Jesus loves you. And he pulled the noose off his neck and he came outside. And God became real to him that day. God used a young, new Christian and obedience, and he went out and did this crazy thing. You see, sometimes God calls us to do some crazy things. They don't make sense. So that's why you get people giving you bad counsel. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do this. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense financially. It doesn't make sense. It happens all the time. People come practically, usually out of concern and care and love for you, and they come to you and say, I don't think you should do that. There's always opposition to moving forward and following God. Realize that, because you expect it. If you expect it, it's no big deal. If you, they don't want me to go. When I came, when I felt called to come over here to the UK, it was amazing who told me not to come. My missions pastor told me not to come. One of the closest ladies to me in the church, a friend of mine's mother who I sat next to at every service, who was always for me in everything I did and was like a spiritual mom to me. Well, I hope she didn't hear this. Told me not to come. That I had this big ministry to trouble kids in jail and I shouldn't come. But God had called me and I kept moving forward. It's amazing what opposition comes to faith when you step out. Expect it. I was just talking with Nicola about her weekend and how someone's trying to discourage them from faith, or not understanding it, rather. Looking at it and going, you know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because you're moving by faith. And God's called you to walk by faith, not by sight. And that's the very vision that she told me about, walking. God gave her a blindfold and told her to walk on the straight path. I said, that's walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's exactly what I'm talking about today. Because, see, God tells us to do some strange things sometimes. Now, don't go out and try and find strange things to do. Don't recreate the mailbox thing. Start, you know, you might, unless you're led, but it's not something we want to formalize. God tells us to do some strange things. He told Noah to build a boat on dry land when they had never actually seen rain before. He's building a boat. Water came up from the earth instead of down. So the first rainfall came. They mocked him, they made fun of him, but they were beaten on the door. Let me in! When the flood came. God calls us to do some strange things. He told Abraham to leave everything he knows, leave his family, and go to the land of Canaan. Later, he tells Abraham to kill his son. Put him on an altar and kill his son. How crazy is that? That's like, that can't be in the original translation. Kill your son? But there's so much more there. God says, I'll provide myself a sacrifice. A lot of people don't catch that. He provided a ram, but he said in the Hebrew, I will provide myself a sacrifice. Speaking of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, I'll provide myself as a sacrifice. God told Philip, he's in the midst of revival, he said, hey, Philip, leave, go to the desert. That would be hard because it's fun when stuff's really hopping, right? Leave. Leave the revival. Go to the desert. So he went to the desert. He met an Ethiopian eunuch. And he got saved. And this man, church history tells us, went back to Ethiopia and brought the gospel. Even some say brought it to the Queen Candace, I believe it was. And brought the gospel back to Ethiopia because one man's obedience, who was willing to leave what was great and big in his life, when God said, he obeyed and he moved. And we've got to become people who are listening to God, who are being encouraged by God. And that's why I encourage you to listen today. God wants to speak to you here at church. He doesn't want you to go come dry and leave dry. He wants you to come and go refreshed. You got to listen, though. You got to open the eyes of your heart that you might see. Faith often asks us to do impractical things. When I left America, I left at the height of my career, making a six-figure income. My family didn't even believe how much money I made. They thought I was lying. I told them how much I made. They go, nah, you're not making that much money. There's no way. And I left at the height of my career, and all the other salesmen like, all right, we get his accounts. Didn't make sense. You sure you're right, Clint? Is something wrong? Do you need to see a counselor maybe? You sure? You sure you want to leave at the height of your career and making all this money? And work was easy. I'd come in, I'd make loads of money and leave. It was easy because I'd built my base, my account base, to where it just was so easy then. And God said, go. I bless you. I've shown you what I can do with an idiot like me. He took me and blessed me that way. And then said, now, okay, I bless you. Now go. I want you to go here. But see, faith and obedience bring blessing. We've got to realize that. If you don't want to walk in faith and you don't want to walk in obedience, you're not going to find the blessing of God. Oh, you'll be blessed by God because the Bible says the rain comes on the just and the unjust. And yes, you'll still have some blessing. But you're not realizing the fullness of what God wants to do in your life. You're only nibbling at the goodness of God. And you're eating upon the other things of the world and trying to find satisfaction. And there don't bring it. They don't bring satisfaction. Following God is exciting. That's been my experience from day one. You know what faith also does to us? It brings expectancy. When you believe in God and you believe in a big God, you have this expectant attitude. What's God going to do next? And you can hear in the prayers and the worship time and the gifts and the songs and everything was saying to that, these people that are already looking forward in faith to the new year, knowing God has been faithful to them in 2010, no matter what they've been through, no matter how many hard times, no matter what's happened, no matter how many tragedies and disasters have happened, God is faithful and he's with you. And he's trying to teach you something through these disasters. He's trying to teach you something. He's trying to conform you to the image of Christ, and it takes a little bit of molding. It takes a little bit of hacking. It takes a little bit of the chisel, and the blows of the chisel of the master's hand aren't always pleasant, but he's trying to conform you to the image of Christ. Is that a pretty high ideal? That's pretty hard to get there. So there's going to take some blows. It's going to take some conforming. It's going to take some shaping. Oh, not there. Psalm 119, 36 and 37 says, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. We've got to get an eternal mindset. We've got to get our mind on the kingdom of God. And the prayers that Bongo was praying earlier about Wales, the north and the south. And Lord, to get our mind on what the prayer that Gwyneth said in saving souls. And somebody in the worship team also was praying about the souls. And I think Steve prayed too and about prayer and souls. And are we going to pray for the souls? Are we going to pray for new life to come into this place? Will we do it? Will we pray that God brings them to us? But I don't know what to say. In the hour you know not to say, the Bible says he will give you the words. That's a promise to you. You don't have to have it all planned out. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. But you see, we've got to have the right desires so that we'll have the eyes of faith, because the right desires from our heart was where we connected to our eyes, so to speak, that we would be able to see by faith. If we don't have the right desires, if we're not living to please God, if we're living for self, we don't have eyes of faith. We have eyes of pleasure, sensual eyes, looking for things to please and bless myself, and it does not satisfy. The Christian life is the most exciting life. Won't you come on an adventure of faith? Will you forget whatever you've been thinking and feeling about the coming year? If it's negative, as Bongo was saying about the negative things, let's get our eyes on the Almighty God who saves. Let's get our eyes on the bigness and the greatness of our God and realize that, hey, we're his instruments. God wants to use you. Wouldn't that be great? 1 Samuel 4, 14:7. So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart." Faith influences others, you see. Your faith is catching. Faith is contagious. Doubt, discouragement, and gloom also can be. What do you want to be?
I don't know. Maybe.
Are you going to look up? God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Are you going to believe in a big God who's on your behalf, who loves you? And if he didn't keep his son from you, will he keep anything else from you? Romans 8:32 says. Is he going to hold back anything from you accomplishing the will of God in your life? But see, we have to step out in faith. That's what it is. You step out in faith, and all hell is going to come against you, by the way. Be ready. Be expectant of that, too. But you rise up, you step out. Some people have left, and some people are still moving on because God's calling them to something by faith. It's a time for, as others step out, it's time for others to step up within this group to fill the void of the people that have left. There's needs, and they must not go unmet. Hebrews 11, people call it the Hall of Faith. You ever heard it called that? The Hall of Faith, where it lists all the different people of the Old Testament who did great acts of faith and died, yet still looking for the Messiah. My pastor calls it the Hall of Grace instead of the Hall of Faith. But he said, my pastor's big on grace, because he says they all blew it at some point in their life. They all made their own mistakes. They weren't just mighty men of faith. They were also men like you and I, men with clay feet, men who stumble and fall, but men who by faith got back up again. And that's the key. When you stumble and fall, get back up again. Brush yourself off. Move forward. And if you're looking down today, you're not looking up, you need to look up and look at God. No matter what you're going through, you need to look to the power of God in your life and look to accomplish His will, because God wants to supply His power to anything that you want to do that's His will. Amen. Amen. Because it's His will, He supplies the power. Maybe you feel like a failure yourself. How could God use me? God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I believe that's part of my ministry, that God would use me and people would look at me and go, "God, he's an idiot. Surely God can use me." I really believe that's part of my ministry. Because I'm a foolish thing. God saved a miserable lowlife. And he wants to use me to show other people, hey, if he can do it, surely I can. Rise up in the name of Jesus and walk. Run and don't grow weary. Believe upon him who the power comes from, the source, the author of your faith. Second thing we're going to talk about today is the steps of faith. And this is really interesting. You're going to have to really come back. You're going to have to listen, because this is maybe a little bit new for you. Steps of faith. We're going to be talking a little bit about the testing, the leading of God. You see, because that's the confusion. Is it the Lord? What's the Lord doing? As Nicola's saying, she's always going, "What's the Lord doing?" And she asks Gary, and Gary goes, "I don't know." Because we step. We're taking steps of faith. God doesn't tell us that 20 steps. We'd be frightened and afraid if we had to take 20 steps. We're going to do that. He gives us one. Sometimes he don't even tell us the next step. We're in waiting for the next. I thought we were going this way. Hold on. You see, we got to realize that we need to test the leading along the way. There, verse 8, it says, "Then Jonathan said, 'Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign for us.'" So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden." Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me. The Lord has delivered them into our hands." He put a little check in there. He put a sign. "Lord, here's the sign. We'll know whether we'll go out and fight an entire army, just me and you. Here's the sign. We'll go at the bottom of the hill when they see us. If they say come up, that's the sign. If they don't say come up, we'll come to you." Ooh, freeze. Maybe run. But this was a sign. See, we need to test things along the way. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21 says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold on. Hold fast to what is true, what is good." We need to test all things. Not every idea that comes into our head, not every thought that comes, not every feeling we have is of the Lord. You've got to get this. This is really important. Now, this is a really, I think this might be a bit deep. It's actually real simple, but I don't think I am explaining it well, what was coming up. We always need to check our feelings, our thoughts, our ideas. Is it God leading me, or is it just an idea? There's a thing called the trichotomy of man. It explains what the soul is. We sang a song with the word soul in it today. What's the soul? The Bible talks about the soul. What's the soul? Well, the trichotomy of man is an explanation of that. It's your mind, your emotions, and your will. You see, and this explains sometimes we get ideas in our mind or our emotions are pulled. Or our will is motivated by something. It could be pride. It could be wrong reasons. Our will could be even motivated by sight of a lot of good reasons. Hey, we should do this. It all lines up. Great reasons. But it doesn't mean, because it's a soulish idea, it doesn't mean it's the Spirit leading. Are you with me? Are you getting me? Let's go forward with this a little bit more. So you have your soul, your mind, emotions, and will. And versus you have the Spirit of God leading you to do something. Now, when the Spirit of God does lead you, He does affect your mind, your emotions, and will, and does go into your soul and enacts your soul to follow Him. But when it's just a soulish idea, it's just your mind, hey, I got a good idea. I got 1,000 good ideas. But are they God's leading? Are they? Maybe they are God, but maybe they're not the timing. You see. You see, we need to test all things. Jonathan put a test in there. Some people call them fleeces today, like Gideon used a fleece. But I want to bring something to you and to think about something. Some people call them fleeces or a sign, and they're all fine and well. But there's something different that's happened since the Old Testament versus the New. We now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you see. We also have the fullness of the Word of God, which they didn't have. We have a lot more resources than they had. They used fleeced. They used looking at the gems in the priest ephod to try and discern the will of God. They put out signs. They look for signs. And I'm not saying God doesn't use those today, but I'm saying we must realize something, and that is that we have the indwelling Spirit and we have the revealed will of God right here. Amen. And so you look to those, not just feelings, emotions, and ideas. You know, turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. You got to see this if you want to see soul and spirit in the Bible and what it says about it. Turn to Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to turn to. You really need to see this. Hebrews 4:12. Very important scripture to learn. Very important scripture to memorize. Probably the top 10. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of," what? Soul and spirit. Because they're so connected. They're so hard to figure out. They're so hard to understand. Is it God or is it a voice in my head? It's so hard to figure out. Am I just emotional about this issue? Or is it the Spirit leading me to do something? And we realize, when the Spirit does lead you to do something, He does enact to your soul and goes to your mind, emotions, and will. But when it's just your mind, your emotions, or your will, your soul, only, it's not the leading of God. It's a soulish idea. See, and we've got to learn to discern. Now, there's a whole other story right there. How do we discern that? It's one experience. Experiencing the leading of God by following God. I think that's the Lord. And following and either failing and realizing, oh, yeah, that's right, that voice came to me through the television or whatever. Or realizing, and God can speak through televisions too, people. I know that sounds weird. God can speak through anything. He speaks through creation. He speaks through one another. He speaks through donkeys, you see. He can speak in all kind of ways, but we've got to test the will of the Lord, the leading of God. You see, the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We have the indwelling Spirit that is to guide us. We don't necessarily have to do fleeces and look for signs only. I'm not telling you not to do signs, by the way, or look for a sign. But I'm telling you to first look to the Word of God. First, let God minister to you through the Holy Spirit to convince you, your mind, your emotions, and your will of something that you would be willing to do that the Spirit has put on your mind and heart. You see, because we now worship. There's a time coming when Jesus was ministering to the woman at Samaria. They said there's a time coming when the Samaritan woman said that. She knew this. She, a Gentile, knew this. There is a time coming, she said to Jesus. There is a time coming when men will worship in spirit and truth. I believe it was her. I might be off there. Anyway, in that text it says, there is a time coming when we will worship by spirit and truth. We have that today. We have spirit indwelling and the truth of the word we check things with. And we need to check our experiences by the word of God because this is our manual for life in practice. Because there's a lot of false stuff out there. A lot of stuff twisted out of the scripture. There's things called doctrines of demons the Bible said would come in the end times that are out there. And the Christian church is accepting them in droves because they don't have the Word of God. They're not being taught the Word of God. And so they accept everything that sounds different or exciting. Well, I'm telling you what. Exciting is following the will of God. Exciting is following Jesus Christ and anything He tells you to do. It's not the latest fad. Sometimes we say something like this, I feel the Lord. Anytime I say that personally, I feel the Lord, immediately I check it. Now, that's just nomenclature. You don't got to worry about if you say, I feel the Lord, I'm not going to judge you. But anytime I say it, I always say, ooh, wait a minute, I feel. Is it a feeling or is it this leading of the Spirit? Now, we use that type of language, so it's not just if you say that, that means it's not the Lord. But you've got to learn to check yourself and maybe use the right language. I feel, wait a minute, no. It's got nothing to do with feelings. I feel the Lord's leading. Oh, that makes more sense. But we've got to watch out. Is it a feeling? Is it a soulish idea? Or is it a God leading? There's all kind of things that can influence us. There's a thing we jokingly call a caffeine burden. We can drink too much coffee and get excited about something. And let's go take the world by storm. And, you know, it's just too much caffeine. Caffeine burden. Doesn't mean it's the Lord will of the Lord or the Lord leading. It's just a lot of caffeine saying, I'm ready to go do something. And here's the first idea I had. There's emotional burdens where you see something and you hear something and it draws and pulls on your heartstrings and makes you go, oh, man, I want to do something about that. But is the Lord leading you to do something about that? Over Christmas, I saw the Children in Africa advertisements and so hungry, and oh, it pulled on my heartstrings. Oh, I'm thinking, here we are, blessed in our warm homes, eating big meals, and then they show on the television these starving kids in Africa. And that was meant to move on my heartstring. And I went away thinking about it. Oh, Lord, should I do anything about that? You know, but, and if God moves you to go help the children in Africa that are starving, please do. That's what the church is meant to do, to spread the love, to spread the wealth. Well, there's all kinds of things we need to learn to discern. And it comes in time we get better at it after we, not that we're ever got it down, though. I can't say I got it down here. Learning to discern is a process. Learning to discern the Spirit leading is a process you've got to go through. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. And there's nobody here got it down pat. Nobody's got a patent on the Holy Spirit. And so you've got to learn to discern. But as you do it in time, you begin to learn, oh, that voice was an idea. That wasn't the voice of God. That was the voice in my head that speaks sometimes. Your emotions speaking. Your mind speaking. Maybe your will speaking. Ooh, if I do this, I'll look great. And that's your purpose, to look great. So we looked at the adventures of faith. We've got eyes of faith and steps of faith. And the steps of faith and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we've got to learn to discern. Oh, one other thing. We also got to learn to wait on the Lord. You've heard that? I'm just waiting on the Lord. Because sometimes it is the will of the Lord. God's ministered by the Holy Spirit. This is what you're supposed to do, but there's a waiting too. Waiting on the Lord, people say. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Maybe years. Maybe a week. But if you know you believe something is the Lord and you hear it, I mean, you believe something is the Lord, sometimes there's also a time to wait on the Lord. It doesn't mean that you want to be quick obedience. If you know it's the Lord's will, you do want to obey quickly. But sometimes He gives you the plan so that you can begin to prepare. But He's saying, but wait, don't act now. Prepare. A time of preparation. Anyway, we're going to talk about the third thing, faith that produces something. Verse 13 and 14. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees and with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half an acre. The first wave of this was 20 people. Two guys took 20 people in half an acre. But if you go on to read the story, you realize the other Israelites are seeing, hey, what's going on over there? Hey, somebody's attacking. Who's not here? Took a head count. Jonathan and his armor bearer aren't here. Hey, wow, they're attacking. Let's go too. Let's go. So they went, and see, faith influences others. They went out by faith, and others, they just went out. Hey, God can save by many or few. We'll go give it a go. See if the Lord is with us. See what the Lord might do. That's what we need to remember this year. Let's go see what the Lord might do. Are your eyes on the challenges? Are your eyes on the changes? Are your eyes on the obstacles? Are your eyes on the Lord? Let's go see what the Lord might do. With eyes of faith, we step out, but we need to test the leading of God. You know, that there's reasons and purposes of why we're here, that we're created. It's great to figure these things out. John 15 says that we're created to bear fruit. And it goes on to say, bear fruit that remains. Isaiah 43:7 says that we're created to bring God glory. These motivations to bear fruit, to bring God glory, keep us on a track, help us to realize it's about God. It's about His glory, not mine. You see, but when we're not living by faith and we're not producing the fruit as we could and not living as God intended, because He's created us to bring Him glory, He's created us to bear fruit, John 15. And if we're not living like that, we're living for self, we're not experiencing this exciting Christian life I'm talking about. It's walking on the edge. It's walking on the riding a wave of faith. You're on the edge of the cleft of the wave, and you can fall down, or you can, I guess not a lot of surfers here, I won't use that one. But you know what? It's walking on the edge of God's will and staying in step with Him. The Bible says to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Saul sent me an email. He's over in America visiting his fiance, and he sent me an email, and it read like this. It was very encouraging to me. And I'll read you just this. Just wanted to say thank you guys for asking me to come on this adventure with you. If it hadn't been for me coming to Wales, I wouldn't have met my wife. Isn't that sweet? Did you know that when we left the church in England, good meaning, good theological, doctrinal people, good Christians told him not to go. There's always opposition to walking in faith. Many good, well-meaning people said, don't go, Saul. Don't go with that idiot Clint. No. They said, what if God doesn't take care of you? What if God doesn't provide? You didn't get your degree first. You didn't do this first. And all these things. When God says go, you go. And I knew it was God. I gave a word to Saul. And I said, Saul, I feel the Lord's called you to go with us to Wales. He said, oh, no, Mr. P. I'm going to become a doctor and get lots of money and live in a big house and have a big car. And that's what I'm doing. Oh, okay. All right. Within 6 months, he comes and tells me, Pastor Clint, I want to come with you to Wales. And God had worked on his heart. Time had worked on his heart. He had heard the word, and the first thought was no. But God worked on his heart. And you see the fruit of that. See, faith produces something. Because God's created you to bear fruit. And fruit that remains. Not just trivial fruit, not just fruit that looks good and for a while and it's nothing. But He called us to bear fruit that remains. That's what I want. I want fruit that remains. Peter Marshall said this: we can either have faith that moves mountains, or we'll stumble over molehills. You see, faith keeps moving in light of opposition. Are we going to look to a bright future for Pillar Church and for you individually? Are you going to look to it? No matter what's going on in your life, there's a lot of struggles here. And as I get to know you more and more, I know of all the struggles out there. I know what some of you are going through. And they're big struggles. They're hard things. They're heart-squeezing, mind-bending, emotional things. But God is good. God is good. His mercies are new every morning. And it's a new year. It's a new day. And God wants you to know that He's with you. God wants you to know that He's big on your behalf. God wants you to know that he loves you. And if God didn't hold back his only son, is there anything he's going to hold back from you? So we won't have time for the do's and don'ts of faith, but let me give you a quote from Charles Stanley. And he's quoting what God would say to you. You can do what I tell you to do and see what I'll do with your life. Or you can disobey me and wonder for the rest of your life what I would do, what I would have done with you if you had obeyed me. Let's go see what the Lord might do, whether he's saved by many or few. Are you ready for 2011? Your eyes on God, good God, who wants to do great things. That's God. When we do the will of God, all power comes with us. Realize, let's find the will of God and do it. We've looked at the adventures of faith. The eyes of faith, we need to see what to do, but it's connected to our heart. Our heart's got to be right first. We've got to have the desires right, or we're going to be looking for the pleasures of life to choke out the life, the abundant life in his name. And then we looked at steps of faith, and we looked at when we move in steps of faith toward God's will and his leading, we need to test them along the way. And it's okay in the middle of this leading, go, ooh, this wasn't the Lord. Ooh, I'm going to look foolish. It's okay. It's better to have stepped out in faith and realize, ooh, this isn't the Lord, and run back than to never step out in faith at all. Because stepping out in faith, there's a risk. There is a risk. There's always a risk. And the last thing we talked about is faith produces something. Fruit comes from when we're led. May we have eyes of faith. May we look forward to what God wants to do. May we be expectant of what the Almighty wants to do to us, through us in this new season. Not only the new year, but this new season of this church. May we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, nothing else, because he is the source. He's the source of the power. He's the source of the love. And quit looking at all the circumstances. Quit looking at the obstacles and say, God, I want to be on your plan. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I want to be on your plan. I want to follow you. I want to take up my cross and follow you, and I'm willing to die to myself to do it. Father, I pray today that, Lord, you'd give us eyes of faith. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to believe in you. Help us to take you at your word. Help us to claim those promises. Help us, Lord, to trust you. And help us to see what you want to do this year. In Jesus' name, amen.